Hello, Grace. This is Blake, and with me, Pastor Ryan. Hope you guys are doing well. We are continuing our journey through the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. This week, we are in chapter 20. Chapter 20 is of the gospel and the extent of grace thereof. And so, here we have four paragraphs. I'm going to start with a question today for Pastor Ryan. So, Pastor Ryan, we see in paragraph 1 of this chapter, which is about the gospel, it begins with the covenant of works. Now, we haven't seen this term, covenant of works, in some time. We see it in chapter 4, and we see it in chapter 6. Why does this chapter begin with a discussion about the covenant of works?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think it's important to say that the previous chapter, chapter 19, was about the law. And you could argue that one of the main ways of talking about Reformed theology in general is law and gospel. So you've moved from chapter 19, which is about the law of God, to chapter 20, which is about the gospel. And those two are not the same. The law is not the gospel, and the gospel is not the law. But it's interesting that this first phrase in the chapter on the gospel says the covenant of works being broken by sin. Well, the covenant of works was that covenant that God made with Adam in the Garden of Eden, as he represented all of humanity, that if he obeyed God's law written on his heart and the outward positive command of not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that had he obeyed, he would have entered himself and all of humanity into glory. Well, he disobeyed, and so the gospel begins, as it were, with the need to talk about sin, right? All of humanity has fallen into sin. And as the confession says, and made unprofitable unto life, God was pleased to give forth the promise of Christ. And of course, that's Genesis 3:15. The whole Bible unfolds this promise of Christ. So to really talk about the gospel, we've got to talk about our need for the gospel.
Right. Got to talk about the law. You got to know that you're a lawbreaker before there can be good news that you're saved from the law. Okay, how about paragraph 2? And here we talk about, or the confession talks about, the promise of Christ. And salvation by him is revealed by the word of God. Any thoughts on this paragraph?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an important paragraph because it makes clear that to understand the gospel, you need to have special revelation. You need to have the word of Christ.
As opposed to just general
revelation. Because the rest of that paragraph says, neither do the works of creation or providence with the light of nature make discovery of Christ. Previously in the confession, we've learned that there are things that we can learn from the light of nature, general revelation. But in order to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, you have to learn of Christ through the message of the Word. You know, I can stare at the Grand Canyon or the stars in the sky and say, there has to be a God and he has to be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't learn the message of the cross by staring at the sky or the Grand Canyon. I have to have the word of the gospel through the word of Christ.
Yeah. So some tribe way out in the jungle that's never heard the Bible before, they need the special revelation, in other words, and the confession.
That's right. That's why we need church planters. That's why we need Bible translators. That in God's providence, he has designed it so that his word is spread through the missions and evangelism of his people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, then paragraph 3, this is about the revelation of the gospel to sinners. What would you like to say about this paragraph?
Yeah, this paragraph might seem a little bit challenging to understand. What is this saying? In essence, I'm going to just read what Jim Renahan in his commentary on the confession says about this paragraph. He says, the basic doctrine of this paragraph, paragraph 3 of chapter 20, is this. The spread of special revelation, and thus the gospel which saves sinners, depends on the sovereignty of God. At the end of the day, the fact that people do not have access to the gospel must be attributed to the divine will. And if you read this paragraph, there's some phrases that you might think, what is being talked about here? And ultimately, it is this idea that God is sovereign in the spread of the gospel. Mm. And that's really the doctrine that is being discussed there.
Yeah, very good. And then paragraph 4, it's a shorter paragraph. This is how the chapter ends. So what would you like to say here about paragraph 4?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about how we need this word of Christ, this word of the gospel. the message of who Christ is and what he's done. But this paragraph makes clear that in addition to this outward means of hearing the gospel, we need the inward work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That it's not just preaching the gospel to sinners. It's outwardly people hear the gospel, but inwardly the Spirit causes them, the confession says, they are born again, quickened, or regenerated, causes them to be born again, and gives them a faith to respond to this gospel, right? And so we need both the outward call and word of the gospel and the inward work of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so in this chapter we have paragraph one, you need to know you're a lawbreaker, and then we need to know also what the word of God says about Christ, and then paragraph four, it says that the Holy Spirit must come upon you to produce a new spiritual life. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, it says, there is no other means that will affect your conversion unto God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a very important chapter, and I would just remind our listeners again that it's crucial that we, in chapter 20, have a discussion of the gospel after we've just spent several weeks talking about what God's eternal moral law is in chapter 19.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got. Lord willing, we'll do this again next week as we talk about chapter 21. See you guys.